This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome into the second hour of the G-Bag Nation. It's nice to see you guys. Jeff Cavanaugh, Brian Broaddus, and Lucius Alexander with you, because Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports hopped in at that 240 segment. It meant we had to push on back the Brian Broaddus segment of the day from 2:40 to 3 o'clock. And so without further ado, I present him to you. Here he is, the winged wonder, Brian Broaddus. Your hair, you got the wings.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jeffrey. Appreciate that. Hey, to follow up what Dennis was talking about, you know, Dave Campbell's, the magazine, Texas Football, that's usually the high school. They asked high school coaches on their confidence level of where they thought would the season start on time this year. And 61% of them responded that their confidence was five or below. And again, 10 being the highest and five, again, middle. And then, but they've talked about 61% of the coaches didn't feel like that the season was going to start on time. And some of them had questions whether it even go on time. And we're starting to hear about some superintendents and stuff talking about the Texas high school football season not being around, so that's something.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's something we've got to keep an eye on for sure. We all love Texas high school football. All right, Jeffrey, you know me, I've always got to ask you some questions along the way. Can't let you get out of this place and without trying to pick your brain a little bit, right?
It's kind of messed up. I mean, I'm just trying to get out of here, but trying you're to, not going to let
well,
me.
No, I'll, cool. You know, you got a few more hours you can work around here, but I'm going to ask you this question. Were you surprised when Charles Robinson of Yahoo said it was crickets on Everson Griffin?
Yeah, because then he kind of alluded to something like, I don't know a lot about Everson Griffin other than the football player, right? He's a good pass rusher for the Vikings for a long time. Because then he kind of alluded to, hey, you know, maybe he's not the perfect fit in the locker room. And he started hinting towards things that I'm not familiar with. So, yeah, I was surprised. And if that leads to, because like with Jadeveon Clowney, he's talking about, yeah, you know, I know what he wants. He wants $20 million. Team offered him $18 million. Team offered him $15 million. Team offered him multiple years. Team offered him 1 year. And with Griffin, it's like, I don't know. That sounds like the guy that's going to fall in somebody's lap.
Yeah.
Right? That sounds like the guy that at some point a team's going to call him up and be like, hey, heard it's been quiet. So what's up with 1 year and $8 million?
Right. See, I was surprised to hear that myself. I just thought that people, that maybe he was pricing himself out of opportunities. Well, both guys, you know, maybe they said, you know, hey, I got to get one last go at it here. I'm in my 30s, you know, and yeah, I've got to try and just get one more, you know, get one more run at it. But it sounded like talking to Charles that he was like, man, there's more to it there. There's something that we maybe need to dig a little bit further. Maybe this weekend I need to dig in a little further about, is there something there that we don't know about the player?
Yeah.
That people don't want him in the locker. Maybe we're hearing some stuff about, you know, Mike Zimmer being friends with Jerry Jones and all those guys with the Cowboys. Yeah. Maybe there's something there that they know that we don't. We need to figure that out.
Maybe there's a little connection that gets him here.
Yeah,
huh?
Maybe
huh?
So. Maybe
or
so.
That makes it where you're not interested. One or the other.
One or the other. Jeffrey, are you encouraged by the reports from what you're hearing from Jared Sandler about the start of the Rangers pitchers, or did you expect that?
I tell you what. I expected, based on talking to people, I had the understanding that it was expected pitchers would probably be ahead of the hitters because it's easier for them to keep working than it is for hitters who can't really face live pitching very often. But I was really encouraged by what he said about Kluber yesterday.
I'll tell you what.
They wanted him to get six innings, but he was so good and so efficient that they had to run three extra batters out there in an inning just to get him to his pitch limit. So you know, for a guy that I don't know what I expected from Corey Kluber when I heard his name as being a Texas Ranger. It's like, holy cow, a multi-time Cy Young winner?
Mm-hmm.
But last year it was like, eh, not very good. Andy got hurt. So what is he really? Nobody knows. That's going to start to get my hopes up that it really could be a big three in that rotation. And if you could have them pitching well, anything can happen in a 60-game season, especially with extra postseason spots available.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, you know, and here in the studio, I had on MLB Network, and they were kind of having live look-ins, you know, of the various, you know, ballparks and stuff like that.
And they squashed the postseason expansion, didn't they? I'm sorry. No extra playoffs. You just have to kick butt. Sorry.
Yeah, you just got to kick butt. You're right. But they were showing Kluber, like Jerry was talking about, the movement on the ball. Guys weren't even close. I mean, there were guys swinging, and it wasn't even close. I mean, he was in the – Jarrett's right, that movement and the motion is so smooth. I'm like, man, I got hyped up watching him throw. I could see why Jarrett was fired up about that. All right, Jeff, fans will be allowed at the Texas Motor Speedway next week. Should I attend the race?
Well, now we're going to talk about how you're going to, well, you know, let's talk about your protocols now. Would you be masked up?
Yeah, I'm going to do whatever they ask me to do. I'm going to show up. I mean, if they say, hey, you have to wear a mask in there, you have to sit over here, I'll do everything they want me to do. But
you've got friends in powerful places now. Where are we talking about? Are you going grandstand, or are you going somewhere special?
Well, we've got some listeners. We've got listeners that, and one of the gentlemen is an executive with Sunoco, which is the official fuel of NASCAR.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, dig your show. Like to have you out here if you want to go.
Mm.
But should I, if I have that opportunity, should I want to sit in that special section, or should I want to just mosey to another part of the facility?
Well, I tell you, the special section is probably going to be a little tighter, right?
Mm-hmm. It'll
probably be a little tighter than where you could have plenty of space in the grandstand. So
right.
That is an elevated level of risk. And I need to know, are they going to have snacks in that special section?
They're going to have snacks at the official fuel of NASCAR. Yeah,
okay.
They're going to have good snacks.
If they do, what I'm going to
tell you. Bottle water, maybe some cold Miller Lights, you know.
I'm going to tell you to wear gloves.
Okay.
Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to go grab the tongs to grab you a corny dog.
Oh, good point.
Out of there.
Yeah.
Somebody else has been tonging it up.
Right.
So I'm going to request that you mask up, glove up, and keep a sharp eye on what people are up to in there, because you never know.
Okay.
Somebody could put their grubby little hands on anything. You just never know.
But you're okay with me going, right?
Yeah, you can go.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Brian, what do I care? I'm working from home until 2027.
Oh, I know. Until 2027?
Yeah. So
and Pat Mahomes kind of that same plan, right?
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. I'm taking your advice. I like what you're saying, by the way.
Now, who are you pulling for? Who's your guy?
Oh, you know what? I've got my crew chief buddies, and they're kind of a start and park team. You know, I have to, you know, I've always been a Kevin Harvick fan.
Yeah, that's cheating these days.
It is cheating. You can't say that. It's like pulling for the best team, but I've been a Harvick fan for a long time.
Okay,
Jeff. Okay, would you rather be known as a Masters champ or a best-selling author?
Oh.
For the rest of your life, you could be a Masters champ or a best-selling author.
Man, you know I got the golf bug right now.
Sure.
Oh.
For the rest of your life.
The swing I've got right now, taking it out there wouldn't go well, but if I could be a Masters. I read a lot. I like to read. I like my fantasy stuff. I like my detective novels. I like my medieval fiction where there's warfare and politicking and backstabbing and conniving.
Mud on your face.
Yeah. Ooh, best selling. For almost all of my life, I would have easily said best selling author.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I am an outstanding golfer who fires a 98 every time out, I'm sticking with best selling author.
There you go.
I'm going to stay with it. But that would be nice. That'd be nice to go.
Everywhere you go, you're introduced as, this is a best-selling author, Jeff Kavanaugh. Or you could be, this is Masters champ, Jeff Kavanaugh.
I'm going to go best-selling author.
Okay.
I feel like people would look at me and be like, that dude, he's smart.
There you go.
You know, And then they don't make me take the IQ test, which would reveal that that's a lie. They'll just be like, man, he must be really bright.
Well read.
Yeah. That guy, he's really got it together. He's a best-selling author. That's crazy. Yeah, that'd be me.
There we go. All right, Jeff. I'd be the Masters champ. That's where I would be. That's the guy I would want to be.
I feel like people would look at me funny if I was a champion of the Masters.
No, you'd look great. Like the Masters picture would be fun with you, like you and like Jack Nicklaus and
Tiger Woods,
and you're like in a green jacket and you're kind of in the back with the picture, you know, you're at the champions dinner. I think you'd be fine.
All right, let's role play this right now, okay?
Okay.
You are introduced to somebody and they're introduced as, and they're not, it's not like Tiger Woods, right? Here's Masters champion Dan Smith, Brian, and you shake his hand. You say, "Nice to meet you,
Danny Willett." That's the master. That's a master champ.
I'm creating a fictional character.
I know,
because I'm a best-selling author. It's what I do.
Oh, I see.
Now you're introduced to best-selling author Dan Smith. In your brain, without knowing anything about him, you just know that one accomplishment. Which one are you thinking of as more hoity-toity?
Oh, the author by far.
The author?
Yeah.
See, I was thinking the champ.
Authors.
And that's what I'm trying to avoid. I don't want to be thought of as the hoity-toity guy.
No, I mean, I think you would be, I don't know, I've seen interviews with, like, John Grisham. He looks pretty cool. He kind of sits there and talks. You know, Tom Clancy was another guy I used to read when he was alive, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed pretty, but you think of golf, you think if you're the Master champ, you're going to be that way?
I'd like to appeal to the third judge. Lucius, who would you assume is more hoity-toity, a random Masters champion or a random best-selling author?
Best-selling author.
Damn it.
Yeah, thank you, Lucius.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah, right. I would think that best-selling author has a substance addiction, usually alcohol.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah. That's just me assuming.
Hemingway.
I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I always wanted to be an author, because I was drunk all the time.
Some of my favorites are our drunks.
Okay.
Hey, I like that. Okay. Jeff, life in the NBA bubble. Are you growing tired of staying in your room or being tested every other day?
I would be more tired of being in my room. It's a weird back. See, coronavirus is weird, Brian. Here's why it's weird. I don't mind being by myself. I'm a homebody. I like to be home. But sometimes I want to go out and have human connection and spend time with friends and all that. So, like, even as a person who off the radio is pretty introverted and prefers being at home to being out the vast majority of the time, it's still torturous at times to not be able to go out on a Saturday and meet up with three or four people at the bar and drink the Fireball and the Miller Lite. The coronavirus test, that's fine. I don't care. As long as it's not still the one where they got to dig that thing that goes in your nose and comes out your butt. Like, yeah, as long as we're not doing that, I'm cool with being tested.
So you're okay with the testing part?
I'm fine with it. But they're probably swabbing or whatever. It's cool. Yeah.
All right. And my final question for you. The Stars were going backwards before the break. Do they find the offense that they were missing? Or is all the pressure going to fall on goaltending?
I'm going to go optimistic. I think there's enough talent, speed, skill up and down that lineup that they should be able to. It's really weird how they've gone from the team that was like, we don't really care what happens, just go score goals.
Right.
The team's like, we're the St. Louis Blues. Dump it in there and let's physical it up with them.
Right. What was that all about?
The fact that the other one didn't work. Like, it worked to a point, but then you got to the playoffs and it's like, hey, you're getting manhandled again. Let's figure out how to play that way. I'm going to go optimistic on the Stars and think that they can sort of get it figured out. They're going to get good goaltending. Ben Bishop's a monster.
Yeah.
Haskinen's a monster. Ben is still good. Sagan's a monster. They got a lot of dudes that either can skate really well and get opportunities or are really skilled or are veterans. I'm going to go optimistic on the Stars and say that the goal scoring will come around at some point and it'll be a good thing
that
they've flipped kind of who they are from being one of the highest scoring teams to one of the lowest scoring teams, that they will have learned from that experience, find some of that juice and some of that goal scoring, and kick somebody's ass.
pass.
I agree with you on that. I think they're going to find their way with that. Everything you said, I totally agree. I think the one thing they've had that's been outstanding is that goaltending has been consistent throughout. I don't think that changes. I think that the fact that they were off for the pandemic, I think that's actually helped them because they were going in a bad direction before this all broke down. And so now maybe it kind of heals up some guys, you know, maybe refocus them a little bit better on what they need to do. But I think the goaltending will be consistent. But I love what you're saying about the offense, and I think that'll be a big thing as we get back into this season. So
let's go.
There you go.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you,
Jeffrey. Nice little segment of the day from you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll do the most overpaid players in the NFL. Who's the most overpaid player on the Cowboys? Why don't you text us at 877-881-1053. We'll do a little pocket watching next in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Nice to see you. It is time to talk about the most overpaid players in the NFL. I want to see if Brian, in his time in the league, ever screwed up a contract real bad and had an owner or GM walk in and be like, Brian, you told me this guy was good, and pow, backhanded you.
Yeah.
That ever happened to you?
No, I got really fortunate. Leroy Glover was the one time Jerry Jones asked me, and Leroy was a long time ago, but Jerry asked me, he goes, we're about to hand this guy, I think it was $5 million. Jerry goes, can this guy really play? And I'm like, yes, sir. I mean, I was so
sir,
nervous.
I promise.
Yeah. I've used the saying that, you know, my rear was so I couldn't even. I mean, it was really tight. And
puckered
I
puckered up a little bit.
I puckered. You could have driven a nail up there. And, it was one of those things where, I mean, I with all the confidence I can muster, I said, yes, sir, I believe he's going to help us. And then I went back to my desk and almost threw up. You know, one of those kinds of things. Because you don't know. I mean, I did my legwork on him. I had some friends in New Orleans that the type of person he was, the character. I knew that. To this day, I thank him. Every time I see him, I give him a hug for being as great a player as he was. Because for that particular time, he made me look really good in Jerry Jones's eyes.
All right. This segment of The Fan is brought to you by Frankel and Frankel and state-of-the-art weight loss soda. Have you been injured in an accident with a work truck, 18-wheeler? Call 214-333-3333 or frankelfirm.com, principal office, Dallas, Texas. Was there anybody on those teams, though, where somebody screwed it up and gave a guy a bunch of money?
Oh, yeah.
Looking at each other like, what are we doing?
I almost got fired because of Felipe Sparks.
Felipe Sparks.
Remember Felipe defense. Sparks? He played with the Giants. He was a defensive back, Arizona State. Yeah, we brought him in. This guy, I pick him up at the airport. This is during the Dave Campo administration. And I pick him up at the airport, and he's like, man, I can't believe you guys signed me. I was just kind of hanging out, retired.
Wow.
And I was like, trust me, I didn't want to sign the guy. I just did not want to sign the guy. Even before that, I didn't want to sign the guy.
I can't believe you guys gave me a contract.
No, seriously. And we came back to the office, and I went into Larry Lacewell's office, and you know we were talking, and then Campo came around, and I was like, Coach, I don't think we should have done this. I really don't. He goes, oh, what do you mean, Brian? This will be perfect. This guy will work out fine. You're going on and on. And I said, Coach, this guy doesn't want to play football. And
did you tell him, like, hey,
oh,
he
I told him
he
that.
Was
I, yeah, I told I, after. Well, Dave leaves, and then Lacewell, he says, close the door. And he says, don't you ever do that again. And I said, well, what do you mean? He asked. He says, Brian? I said, Coach, he asked. And he goes, Brian? And I kept going, Coach. And he goes, you say another word, you're fired.
Why they just didn't want you
He did not want me to rain on Dave's parade. It was Dave's idea that we signed Felipe Sparks.
Okay.
And so I got in a lot of arguments with Parcells. I mean, the same thing. I mean, when I took it personally, I had been with Marco Rivera at Green Bay. I knew he had a bad back, and we give him $9 million. And I'm like, we shouldn't have done this. And he played a little bit, but when he got hurt, what happened? His back, treadmill, you know, accident. And I'm like, I'm not just hitting everyone but there were a lot of times where I just would fight, and it would do no good. It really
wouldn't.
What a
weird balance to have to strike when you're like, well, my job is to tell you what I think, but at the same time.
I got yelled at a lot.
Right. If I don't tell you what you want to hear, it might not be good for me either. So what a weird job to have. I'm glad we just get to pretend we're building the team on the radio.
Oh, no. It's fun to get to do it that way. It's to me, you know, you're trying to be, you know, when Jerry would ask a question and Parcells would sit there and Jerry would ask me a question, and I would give my answers, and Parcells would go, why the hell are you telling him that? Why are you telling him that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, because he asked me. You know, and front offices are strange that way. They really, really are. I would if I ever had the chance. I never got to the Philadelphia when we got to do the draft, and that was it. I never got to, you know, run the organization like I thought we were, and that would have been fun to kind of been able to send it in a direction, but didn't get that opportunity.
There's still a chance, Brian.
No, there's not.
Mm-mm. Get a couple of good ratings bonuses in here. We'll buy the cheapest team in the league, and we'll take him to the championship.
We got Prince. Prince is listening to us. Prince will buy us a team.
Oh, yeah, the Prince will buy us a team.
Prince will help us buy a team, yeah.
Yeah, you knew him first, so you can be the GM.
Prince likes you a lot, though. He's a big fan of yours, yeah.
I'll be the director of college scouting.
No, you can be the GM. I'll work for you.
Okay, cool.
All right.
That was easy to solve. The 10 most overpaid players in the NFL, according to CBS Sports. Will there be a Cowboy on the list? Should there be a Cowboy on the list? 877-881-1053. That's the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Tell us, do you think so? Do a little pocket watching on a Friday. You know, get up in that man's pocket and let us know. That guy's overpaid. He shouldn't make that much. Be rude. You kidding?
You talking about that running back, Jeff? You asking about that running back?
Oh, man, I'm just asking about whoever people are thinking about. I would never pocket watch like that. I just want everybody to make as much as they can, Brian.
All right.
At number 10 is Olivier Vernon for the Browns. Okay. His cap hit this year is $11 million. Used to be really good.
He did.
Now, apparently the Browns realized that he was overpaid because they made him take a pay cut. They were like, hey, you know how you got $15.5 million that you're on the books for? But I believe none of it was guaranteed. They're like, how about we take away $4.5 million from you, but we guarantee your money? And he was like, all right, works for me. So he's got a redone deal.
Smart man. He knew they got to hang around, get that money.
That's one of those things where you call your agent. You're like, here's the thing. We could tell them no, but if we tell them no, they're going to cut us. Am I going to get $11 million a year? And his agent's like, probably not, bro.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, damn. Okay. At number 9, Leonard Fournette.
Oh, no.
Jags took him in the draft. They probably thought he was going to be there for quite some time. But they say instead he's now the poster child for why you should almost never take a running back in the top 5.
I think you added this on your own.
No!
I think you're making this up.
Look, their words, the Jaguars have been so frustrated with Fournette, they didn't even pick up the 5th-year option on his rookie deal. Instead, he'll almost certainly be leaving the team after 2020, but not before the Jags get hit with one more giant cap hit.
Yeah.
$8.6 million in 2020. 5th among all running backs.
Number 8.
Coming season.
Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, it could be. Maybe we will get to Le'Veon Bell.
You're
going to
name about 6 running backs. I know what you're doing here.
Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott,
exactly.
David Johnson,
yeah.
Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, now wait a minute. Let's not talk about Christian.
Well, he makes a lot of money now.
He does make a lot of
money. Derrick Henry on his franchise tag.
There you go.
Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, and that's the list. At number 8, the 10 most overpaid players in the NFL. A.J. Green. This one, okay, but what if he's healthy and playing? Then that could very well not be the case.
He was an honorable mention of our early segment we did about wide receivers. He was in that number, like, 12 to 14 range, if I'm not mistaken.
And if we could rewind back to when he was a healthy guy, he's in the top 5, and there's no question.
Yeah, he's got him there's a quarterback no now question. To give him the ball. Got a guy who'll find him.
Does he?
Yeah.
Is the quarterback pretty good?
Quarterback's pretty good. Yeah.
You like that guy?
I do. We wasted one of his years, but we figured it out.
AJ Green is franchise tag, so he's going to make $18 million, 17.9. So third highest figure among receivers, they say. No, that's not true because Amari Cooper makes 20 now. They don't have that number in here, but that's okay. They say the problem with paying him that kind of money is he hadn't proven he could stay healthy.
That is a problem.
Over the last 4 years, he has missed 29 games. That is almost half of the potential games, including missing all of 2019. So they say if the Bengals can reach a long-term deal with Green before the franchise, do you want that as a, you know, Burrow's your guy? Do you want them to sign AJ Green long-term? Or
oh, I think.
Are you scared of the health and you're like, yeah, go ahead and tag him?
No, you know what? Yeah. Gosh, I just put myself in a corner here.
I had all these
emotions in about 6 seconds.
You went through these stages of grief.
Yeah,
I
did. And the numbers don't lie that way when you're talking about the number of games missed. You know what? I think if I'm the front office with I'm one of the Browns, I go up to AJ Grant and say, "Listen, man, if we're going to do this thing long term, I need some protection here. I need some help here. You know, you got to work with me. I've paid you." While you've been hurt, and then he's going to look at me and say, man, I was one of your best players. Shut up, you know? But
if I were him, what I would say is, listen, I could have played last year some. I didn't want to because I wanted you to get Burrow. I did you a solid.
I mean, he's the highest paid Bengal player at $18 million. So, I mean, him and Geno Atkins, those kinds of guys. So,
yep.
I go up to him and I say, I'd like you here, but you got to help me, you know, and maybe he will. Then again, maybe he will say, you know what, I'll go somewhere else and be great. You know, I don't need you guys anymore. Thanks for the time.
Now, here's some people trying to watch the Cowboy players' pockets here. 281 says most overpaid, Jalen Smith by far. That's offensive, sir. He's a great man. 346, Zeke is overpaid. Did you not see that he just fed a bunch of families? The 682, Tank right now, and Dak after he signs an extension. Have you not seen the work that Tank does in the community and Dak as well? Byron Jones is super overpaid. He sucked in Dallas. That's a troll, and I will not take the bait, Mr. 214. I'll just continue on with the list. As soon as I find where I put it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that no one's brought up Crawford. That's one of those, until you had the Jalen Smiths and the Zekes and all these other ones.
I think people got tired of bringing him up.
Yeah, because they know nothing's going to happen.
This is the last year, though, right?
This is the last year. This is it.
I'm going to have some work to do on that D-line. Number seven is Alshon Jeffrey. His cap hit is $15.5 million, and Howie Roseman's been trying to trade him like crazy. It's not going to work, and they're going to be stuck with him.
Sure are.
So for them, I guess, hopefully he's healthy and he's still got a little something in the tank there. Because they're going to need somebody. We'll see how this DeSean Jackson thing plays out as well. At number six, here you go, Brian. This one's right up my alley. David Johnson.
There you go.
I knew you'd get there.
You sprinkled that one in. You thought you about felt it's time to kind of get that one in there, right?
I hope Le'Veon Bell's in the top five. I didn't preview this thing. I just wanted to run through it. David Johnson's number six. $11.2 million against the cap this year. And not only that, Bill O'Brien is – I hate to do personal insults. So I feel like if I call somebody a dummy-o, like that's just
You could call
fun.
Him a sports dummy-o.
Yeah. Like I don't know if he's actually dumb, but I don't want him running my team. You traded DeAndre Hopkins and you thought that getting David Johnson back was something valuable when really anybody else trading for David Johnson would have been, yeah, I'll give you a sixth-round pick. You'll give me the player – and a third-round pick. You have to pay me to take that contract. Bill O'Brien thought that getting David Johnson was a good thing. He's insane.
Would you get fired? Would you speak up and lose your job, or would you keep your mouth shut?
Depends on my future prospects.
Yeah. Don't be an idiot. Don't be a dummy-o like me and complain all the time about that.
Like if I had a little bit of a track record and I knew people in a bunch of cities and they're like, well, we know you're good and you have another job if you need it. I would have told Bill O'Brien when he was about to make that trade, I'd be like, if you make that trade, you're the biggest dumbass in the league. And he'd be like, is that really how you should talk to your boss? And I'd be like, great point. What I meant was, I feel like we didn't have to reset the market so far for Tunsil and let's really work through this trade we're about to make, you know? Hopkins is a really good player. Let's just work through this, man. And he'd be like, no, you called me a dumbass. You're fired.
Where were you, like, you know, 15 years ago when I needed you to talk like that to me? I needed you to tell me all those things instead of me being violent Brian.
15 years ago, I promise you, what is it? It's 3:30. I was drunk in Abilene, Texas.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not a bad place to be drunk.
Or I was at practice, hungover. One or the other.
Were you a good practice hungover guy?
Yeah, I could do it. We had 5 a.m.s.
Oh,
and I would
good
go out
for
there
you.
Hungover, and yeah, I got as far as my natural ability would take me.
You must have been a hell of a player.
I was pretty naturally gifted.
I bet you were.
Honest.
I bet you were. Your buddies who played football with you are always very complimentary of the type of player you were.
I'd love to know what happens if I properly rehab a knee injury and try hard my whole life.
Dr. Soriol was laughing at you the other day, by the way.
God, every time he sees me when I come into the office, he's like, no. No. And I'm like, what do you mean no?
Cha-ching.
He's like, I told you last time. We've literally done everything we can. There's nothing left to do. And I'm like, oh, come on. Go in there, doc. Just go look around and clean some stuff out. And he's like, get out of my office. Number five, fifth most overpaid player in the NFL this year is Jared Goff at $28.8 million. I have not given up on Jared Goff.
You shouldn't.
Not yet.
You shouldn't.
But last year was not good, and it looks like the league might have kind of figured them or him out. but I have not given up on Goff. I've just demoted him in my quarterback power ranking substantially.
A coach needs to help him a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I think coach the league might have caught up to the coach a little
bit. Yeah, the coach needs to get that mojo back. Call
number
him
four.
Ball plays, yeah.
We're back on track here. Le'Veon Bell.
Of course he is.
$15.5 million for 3.2 yards per carry. Let's pay those running backs, baby.
Where can we get Jeff's list? What website do we go to?
This is CBS Sports.
Oh, is it?
CBS Sports.
Oh, okay. You start writing for them, huh?
No. Now, if I were writing, Le'Veon would be one.
It's going to be a video on YouTube. Get ready.
David Johnson would be two. Zeke would be three. Henry would be four. Number three is Malcolm Butler for the Titans. He's going to make $13.4 million this year, but he struggled last year. He struggled 2 years ago and couldn't stay healthy last year. Number two is Jacoby Brissett. How is he getting $21 million this year?
Two-year deal.
His cap is $21.4 million?
Yeah, they had to give him a two-year. They had to give him an extension in order to kind of keep him around or keep him happy because they knew he was probably wasn't going to be the starter.
Okay, he'd be one, and then all the running backs.
Yeah.
And number one is Nate Solder. His cap hit for the Giants this year is $19.5 million.
That's a struggle right there. Dave Gettleman, that's when his rear should be tight for making that one. Oof.
He gave up 11 sacks last year.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
bad
that's not
player.
A great year. So there you go, the highest paid guys. Let's see if there's any more Cowboys slander here. 469, Jason Garrett was the Cowboys' most overrated player. Jeff, you're the most overpaid. Amari, Jalen, and Tyrone belong on this list. Whew, just all up in their pockets. I'm offended by you guys. Coming up next in the G-Bag Nation, it'll be 3:40, which means it's time for baseball stuff with us. We'll check in with Jared Sandler. Joey Gallo's back, baby. That is next in the nation. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah.
We're doing what you're drinking and what you're thinking at 5:40 today. We're bringing that bad boy back, so make sure that you're getting a little toasty starting about now. I think you need about a two-hour warm-up for what you're drinking and what you're thinking. I got high hopes for you guys. Don't let me down. It's time for baseball stuff with us, though. We go to Jared Sandler every time that it's – not every time, but a lot of times when it's time for baseball stuff with us. How you doing, Jared?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
We're just keeping it real, trying to do radio, things of that nature. See how your phone's doing. See if Lucius is going to get to shame you for your phone service or not, or your telephone.
Well, we can blame the Rangers hitters today because they certainly delayed the proceedings. There was a lot of long at-bats, a lot of good at-bats. And so, yeah, we can blame the Rangers hitters for my inability to be down line and on Zoom hanging out and seeing how good-looking you guys are today.
Well, that sounds promising, but I'd like to start with if the hitters had a good day, that means the pitchers. This is what we do in the football. When somebody does good, that means somebody did terrible. Who was getting tore up out there?
Yeah, so I think it was actually a good balance. Like Kyle Gibson started for one team, and he was really good. He went five innings, and in his last two innings, he ended up getting more than three outs to get his pitch count up. He actually looked really sharp. Kyle's kind of a nibbler, and I know that sometimes there's a negative connotation with that, but I don't think it always is a negative thing. He's a guy who really lives on the edges, and so you know he'll tend to have some longer at-bats, and over the first couple innings, that's just kind of how it went down. And then Joe Palumbo started for the other team, and he was okay, inconsistent, and that's really been a big thing for Joe. And a lot of that inconsistency is probably related to the fact that he just hasn't been able to stay healthy, and it's tough to find that consistency when you can't consistently take the ball every 5 days. But he's healthy now, and the interesting thing that came out of his start in our conversation with him is that he's added a fourth pitch. He's added a slider, which seems really necessary because when he was pitching at the major league level last year, he really had a tough time putting guys away, certainly not at the rate he was able to do it at the minor league levels. And he really struggled against righties. And I think the slider as a lefty, a backdoor pitch that can maybe masquerade a little bit as a fastball for about 56 feet towards the hitter is something that could really help him have that balance that you need as a starting pitcher.
So Joey Gallo's back in the building, coronavirus free. I saw a picture of him not wearing a mask, which I'd like to ask him about. But what does it mean for him? Like, is there a ramp up? When does he jump right in? What's he up to?
Yeah, you know, I talked to him, and he hasn't had any symptoms. And so I think, like, from a cardio standpoint, he's actually been pretty good. And there's really not a lot of catch-up he needs. Obviously, he hasn't been able to see live pitching, but he'll get the chance to do that here shortly. And there's enough time for him to get that acclimation. But it's just good that he got those negative tests, so he's back. He worked out in right field prior to the scrimmage today, and the expectation is that he'll be in the lineup tomorrow, a part of the inner squad, and we'll hopefully be able to hear from him after that game tomorrow. But it's just, you know, another step. It's nice to check his name off the list of those unable to participate. I don't think there really was great concern about that, but it's just nice to be able to get that done.
Jared, it sounds like that Ruggie is continuing to really, I want to say, smashing the ball. I mean, that's the for another lack of another word, but it sounds like that every time that we're getting contact, this thing is kind of working out pretty well for him. Continue to be the case?
Yeah, he had another home run today. He's kind of got like a Don Mattingly, Ken Griffey Jr. like home run streak going. And his home run today was not a cheap home run. It was all the way to the back of the first deck in right field. Again, I don't know what to say about it other than he does, you know, continue to hit. And I guess I'd prefer this than Ruggie going 0-for, you know, the month of July in meaningless baseball. So I guess in meaningless baseball, it's better to be doing well. I don't know what to say other than it doesn't matter who's on the mound. It's righty, lefty, hard thrower, more of a light tosser, heavier on the breaking ball stuff or fastball reliant. That, you know, they're coming in all shapes and sizes, and Ruggie's kind of treating them equally here over the last couple weeks with a lot of damage done. And then Danny Santana's kind of been the opposite. Danny Santana actually entered today without a single hit so far in these scrimmages, but he had a home run today, so it was nice to see him get off the stride. But, yeah, with Ruggie Bratis, I don't know what to say other than I guess this is better than the alternative.
Absolutely. Hey, Jared, this is maybe an unfair question, but can you tell by the way the ball is carrying in that park at all? Can you get anything out of that from, you know, just from some of the hits, whether they're singles, doubles, the home runs? Is there anything that you can kind of – take away from what you've seen with the way the ball's traveling in that place?
Yeah, so we haven't seen it with the roof open. And typically in these retractable roof facilities, the ball will have more carry and be more favorable for the hitters with the roof open. So I can't comment on that yet. But with the roof closed, I don't know if we just need to give the hitters credit today because they were hitting the crud out of the ball or it was carrying better. But we saw more power today than any of the other scrimmages that we've seen so far, and not just like resulting in home runs, but you know, a lot of deeply hit balls. But I would say that typically so far the last week and a half, it's definitely been more pitcher friendly, and the ball is tied when you hit it to left or right center, and the gaps get pretty deep pretty early on if you were to track it from the foul pole towards center, certainly a little earlier in this park than in Globe Life Park. So, the gaps play a lot bigger, and we've seen the ball die when hit towards the gaps the last week and a half. And so you ask anyone, they'll tell you, well, it's playing more favorably for the pitchers. And during the summer months, that might be the case because I doubt the roof will be open a ton in the summer. But we still need to see it when the roof's open. But I would say that it's not like Petco Park when Petco first opened where it was like drastically in favor of the pitchers. But I do think that it would lean a little bit towards pitcher-friendly at this point from what we've been able to witness.
Jared, I saw your note about how they were piping in crowd sound. I would like to know what that experience was like, but also I want to know who's at the controls. Like, is that Groobs piping in crowd noise, or is that somebody different?
Yes, it is. It is the legendary. So that gives me a ton of confidence that we're going to knock this thing out.
Okay.
I think they're working out the kinks right now, trying to see what works and what doesn't. You know, one of the things that's interesting is that, you know, when – in a normal game, when the pitcher is pitching, like when he has come set and about to pitch, you can't have any music. You can't have any, like, you know, encouragement of clapping or like, you know, none of that. And so they've got the crowd noise murmuring, but then when the pitcher comes set, it just shuts off. So I don't know if there's a way around that, but it is dead silent when the pitcher's about to pitch, which is not the typical experience, but I don't know that they can control that because I don't know that they're allowed to have anything coming out of the speakers at that point. They kind of presented the game in a way that is more representable to a typical game in terms of, you know, announcing the players and having walk-up music. When a good play happened, the crowd would get more excited. When a bad play or like a controversial call, it wasn't really controversial, but a close call to start the game. And so you heard a little booing, I think. So I definitely think that they've got a little bit of work to do to just smoothen it out. But it does seem like this is what the game experience is going to entail, at least until fans come, where you've got that fake crowd noise and you know, a wide array of emotions demonstrated based on, you know, the activity during the game.
Jared, is there, you know, the old crusty scout here wants to know, is there anybody that's kind of making a run? We've talked about, I asked you about the roster expansion and stuff. Is there anybody kind of making a little bit of a run that you maybe weren't expecting for that one of the 30-man spots?
Yeah, so from a hitter standpoint, I would say that Yadiel Rivera is a name that could sneak on to the 30-man roster. And he would serve as the backup shortstop and perhaps, I mean, they have a million guys who can play second, but he can also play second. And I'm sure if needed, he can play third, but he's really good defensively. And offensively, he's got an interesting mix of abilities. He's just not quite been able to avoid the strikeout enough to stick. He's got some major league time. He was, you know, I actually remember seeing him in 2011 when he was a first-year professional player with the Helena Brewers and the Milwaukee Brewers system. And he was one of the better players in the league and certainly one of the more promising prospects. He's got a little bit of power. I think that if he were to play like 155 games and maybe improve a little bit offensively with his contact rate, this is a guy who could probably hit 20 home runs. But, you know, right now he just hasn't been able to demonstrate enough consistency. But I do think that, you know, with his performance from the spring and what we've seen the last week and a half, he's a guy who could sneak on to the 30-man roster. Now, I don't know that he would hang on once it dwindled down to 28 and 26, but we just haven't really talked about Yadiel Rivera a ton, in part because he's not like this big-time prospect. He's 26, 27, but he is a guy who he could be a part of the opening day roster for sure.
Love you, Jared. You're a beast. We'll talk to you Monday.
Love you guys.
Love you. There he goes, Jared Sandler. Baseball stuff with us at 3:40 every day. Coming up next, the Cowboys wide receiver trio is pretty outstanding. Is it enough to lift the entire division? We rank the NFL divisions by wide receivers next in the nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.